97.5, The Fanatic.
Tyrone Johnson, take you into the Temple pregame show. 610-632-0975. Word of the week is hope. And this weekend's programming is brought to you by Heineken Original Lager. Celebrate the holidays with the crisp, refreshing taste of Heineken. Whether you pick it up or have it delivered, make sure to enjoy responsibly. Now, the Sixers have provided a lot of hope this week. And the man to talk about it right now, NBA veteran, you see him on the Sixers pre- and post-game show, has an excellent AAU squad as well. I miss seeing this man at NBC Sports Philly Studios, Mr. Mark Jackson. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Mark, thanks so much for the time, man.
My pleasure, Tyrone. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Good to talk to you, man. And so before we get into some more of the specifics, just you played as a big man in the NBA for an extended period of time. Could you talk about how much harder it is for you to play when your team doesn't have spacing as a big man, and then how much easier it is to play when the team has spacing?
You know, Tyrone, it's very difficult, especially if you're playing on that little box, and every time you go to make a move, you got three guys sitting in your lap. It's very difficult to get anything or much accomplished with that being said. When you're out there with some shooters, with some scorers, like when I was at the Hornets, we had Peja Stojakovic, we had Rasul Butler, Garris Sol. I didn't have to worry about people doubling me. And David West, we was able to do things in low post. We were able to go one-on-one without worrying about people dropping on our laps and making havoc for us. So the spacing is there when you have shooters. It's so important, not just for that, but also for opening lanes for people like Ben Simmons to drive and get to the rim.
Yeah, so then I want to take it all step by step. We'll do the trades, and then we'll get into the draft, and we'll work from there. Al Horford, he's now going to start with the Thunder. They move Steven Jackson. Danny Green will be in eventually. They're moving stuff all around. Danny Green, now my point was that I've talked to people about this week was I don't even care necessarily if Danny Green is declining. The fact that you got back a guy who can make a three-pointer for a contract and a player who just didn't fit here, to me, that was good enough. What's your opinion on that?
Great point. You know, people, I'm looking at it like this. We pretty much paid OKC to take Al Horford's contract.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because we did get something in return. We got his floor spacer as well as another wing defender and a young Terrence Ferguson. You know, one thing people say, you know, Danny Green's, he's declining. He's not as great of a defender as he was. One thing we all know, the older we get, the better we shoot.
Yep.
So with that being said, I'll take an oldie declining Danny Green any day over Al Horford, who really didn't fit in our system.
And that, to me, was the point. I think that there are some people out there that thought, even it was kind of two-minded when we talked to the fans on Sports Talk Radio. It was like, on the one hand, they couldn't stand Horford. They were frustrated that he wasn't giving them more. But they thought they were going to somehow get somebody else's star in return. There's no way, like, the other NBA teams have the same eyes as we have. Many times, even better eyes. There was just no way you were going to get this huge return of a slam dunk star in exchange for a player who wasn't helping you at all.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I thought, Tyrone, I'm surprised we got anything back for him. Respect it. I mean, no disrespect to Al Horford. I'm just talking about the situation here with the maker lineup we have. He just didn't fit us. So I was thinking that we might be trading him away for Chandler Parsons or somebody who has a big contract who won't be able to play. But to say we got somebody who can contribute, we got two guys. You know, I know we've seen a lot of Danny Green, but Terrence Ferguson is only 22 years old,
an
elite athlete, elite defender, and has a lot of potential.
Yeah, I think he can end up helping them, that, especially that defensive profile that they seem to want to get. Now, then the next trade on draft night, before we get to the picks and then a few more things. Josh Richardson, no disrespect. Josh Richardson played hard. He defends. But the one thing he doesn't do, especially when you're going from J.J. Redick to him, he doesn't shoot it. And then to trade him and a second-round pick and get back the second-best shooter by percentage in NBA history, it's hard not to like that trade, in my opinion.
You know, no one. That's probably, to me, that was a trade that helped both teams.
Yep.
You know, Dallas, Philadelphia, they got better with Richardson. We know we've gotten better because we added a piece that fits what we're trying to do here. That's probably the home run for both teams. Both teams gotten better. But speaking for the Sixers, man, we got Steph Curry, man. Steph Curry, and I know people say Steph, he's a shooter, but Steph can also go play, give you some backup, some ball handling minutes too. So I don't see him necessarily as just a shooting guard that can shoot. I also see him as a combo guard that can give you some time on the ball as well, and as well as face that floor. I really believe that that was a home run for both teams.
We're talking to Mark Jackson from NBC Sports Philadelphia, longtime NBA player, Temple graduate, Philadelphia's own. We really appreciate the time. Now, shifting over to the draft pick, because I completely agree with what you just said about Curry. I tried to study it. You know, the draft almost snuck up on a lot of people, being in November during football season and all that. Everything I studied had Maxey being gone long before the Sixers. I didn't think there was a chance they would get him. Were you surprised that a player that kind of fits the Sixers so well and what they're trying to do fell to him at 21?
Yes, I've been following Maxey. You know, me being on the AAU circuit,
right?
I've been following Maxey since he was in ninth grade. So for him to drop this far, I was scratching my head, and I was like, oh, whatever, we'll take him.
You know,
he's what we need. He's what we need. And for him to fall to us is like a match made in heaven. Now, why did he fall? He fell because he was kind of nervous about his ability to shoot the three. And also because of the combo guard. And with the league going positionless, if you are a combo guard, they want you to be 6'6", 6'7".
Right.
Max is only 6'3". So that was, to me, I think that was why he fell so much. Being a combo guard, only being 6'3". If you're going to be 6'3", they want you to at least be an elite shooter, a.k.a. Steph Curry, or they want you to be a point guard, like, say, a Chris Paul.
Right. Or like a Fox with Sacramento.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, where he makes up for it is 6'6 on the wingspan. So I do think he'll be able to defend multiple positions once he and he's worked on his body. He's not a thin for being so young. He's not coming into the league thin the way some other guys are. Got a pretty thick body relative to his age.
Built nice. He is a very good. He has a man's body. He's been being developed since high school, strength and conditioning. So he's got a good frame on him. But also he's a scorer.
Yeah.
You know, we need some guys to create their own basket, and he's going to fit that. I'm in a lot of comparisons with Lou Will. Respectfully to my guy Lou Will, I think Maxey is a little bit more of an athlete.
Yeah.
I think Maxey's going to give you a little bit more, not far as scoring, but far as athleticism and causing havoc on a defensive end. So I think that's what they expect from Maxey.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Now, just real quick on the second round pick, Isaiah Joe, people got a little, they were talking about his drop in three-point shooting. I checked it out. He had an 8 for like 28 stretch where, because he had a bad knee, a knee that required surgery. If you take that out, to me, he was the best shooter in all of college basketball. I know a lot of people haven't seen him a lot. And it's, I'm talking about a second round pick, a possible developmental player. Do you think it was smart to grab probably the best shooter in the whole country and see if you can just find something with him?
Exactly. Look, you see the way this free agent market is going. There's been a premium put on people that can shoot the ball.
Yeah.
And I know he's struggled a little bit. He's coming off the injury, but who cares? He is a shooter. We drafted him in the second round. We'll take him, and we'll mold him how we want him to be molded, and hopefully he can contribute. You know, when you're playing in high school and college, no matter where you go to school, whether it's the Kentuckys, the Dukes, the North Carolinas, the Blue Bloods, it's nothing like NBA training staff,
yeah,
NBA strength and conditioning program.
Right.
So anything that's going on with you health-wise, they can get you right. And I'm very comfortable with that pick.
Yeah, he's thin, but like you said, he's going to get the best – strength and condition he's ever gotten. If they can, if his body can take some size, he's going to end up getting it in the NBA.
Absolutely.
And the last pick, Paul Reed. I was a guy, I've seen him some at the Paul, because the Paul was on TV playing against Villanova, for example. 6'9", 220. People project that they love him in analytics, and they think he might actually be able to grow into being like a small ball type of five guy. Have you seen a lot of Paul Reed? You're a big man yourself. Do you like him?
I like him, A, because of his motor.
Okay.
His motor. He's a big motor guy. He's a rim runner. You know, he can really give you some enthusiasm on the offensive end and defensive end. I like him. He's a live body. He's a live body, has a lot of potential to expand his game. So I'm all with that pick. I'm all with that pick, especially I'm very, you know, and he's, and we're going to get him on the cheap. We're going to get him on the cheap compared to Norrell Pell, who the Sixers released. Right. I think he's going to maybe kind of fill some of those minutes for us.
And now, yet last night, there was a lot of rumors. And another big man, and I know you're the expert on basketball, but also on the big man because you were one. The Nerlens Noel rumors are out there, but apparently once the Lakers decided to, they told him he may not be getting a whole lot of minutes because they're picking up a different center, Joel Embiid gets on the phone, and now the Sixers signed Dwight Howard to a minimum contract to come in and be the backup center. We know that he's not the Dwight Howard of old, the Hall of Fame, you know, defensive player of the year type. Do you think he fits here as a backup center?
100%. We have an enforcer, a rim runner, a rebounder, a dunker. Mm-hmm. We call them vertical floor spacers. It's so cool to see. It's so cool to see somebody like him come here. Why? Joel Embiid. We know Joel Embiid is probably one of, if not the, one of the top two best centers in the NBA. But you have a guy who was once one of the best center in the NBA, and who will be a Hall of Famer. They come here who's learned from his mistakes. He's made some bad mistakes, and you're not an expert in anything until you failed at something. And he failed on how he carried himself a couple of situations, and he can be a good influence on Joel as well. Let's talk about the basketball aspect. That's not bad at all, that man coming off the bench getting us 18 minutes a game. Coming off this game, blocking shots, rebounding, dunking on people. He's going to give us some productivity. He's never had to scratch your head. I love the move that signing Dwight Howard.
Now, I appreciate it, Mark. Now, just one more thing I want to ask you. Let's say all the moves are done for now. I know Morey's still going to be checking, but let's say the moves are done for now. There's been questions about what the starting lineup would be. If you're the coach, Mark, and I know you're coaching your AAU team, and we'll get to that just before you get off, what would be your starting five? I've heard different suggestions. I heard some say start the rookie next to the veterans that will be around them. Put Danny Green at the three, Tobias at the four and B. You could kind of insulate them. Then come off the bench with shooting with Curry. I've heard a lot of combinations already. What would be your starting five if you were the coach?
You know, it's funny, Tyrone. As I'm looking at the roster, like, well, who would I start? I'm inclined to say I would start Joel, Tobias, Danny Green, Seth, and Ben.
Okay, all veterans.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with that something because that's guaranteed floor spacing. You know, you have Seth and Danny Green who don't necessarily need the ball,
right?
But they're open for his shot, and Seth can create a little bit. So you got that guy. You start off with floor spacing, and then you bring guys in bits and pieces. You can go with anybody off that bench to start off with. That's what I'm rolling with.
And then Maxey, you can come off the, you know who your backup center is. That's locked now. That's solidified. Yep. And then Maxey, you can play it. Shake Milton, Thibel, you can play everybody else by ear and by matchup.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not a bad I like way to that. Go.
Listen,
yeah.
Think about it. We went from being the biggest team trying to play big boy ball to now we have the ultimate floor spacers. Think about it. We got Danny Green and Seth, and Tobias can hit the three. And I'm looking forward to Tobias. I'm going to tell you something. I like the pressure they put on Tobias. People say, what am I referring to? I'm referring to Tobias pretty much being a max type of contract, and people are unhappy with his productivity. Now he's being forced to give us more. And I think Coach Doc can get that out of him. And I really like that. And if you start those shooters beside those guys, you're guaranteed to get more productivity out of them.
Wow. And you know what? Since you brought him up, I was going to let you go. But there have been people talking about taking the last shot. With the spacing that you mentioned, Embiid, obviously, he's a man that you got to pay attention to. Ben Simmons is a threat to drive the ball. We know about the shooting, but he's a threat to drive. With those shooters, do you think there could be more ISO situations with Tobias late in the game where he might get a more favorable matchup defensively because of the guys that would be around him in crunch time?
And that's a good call. That's a good call. And I during crunch time, I wouldn't say I'm going to Tobias. To be honest. I think I'm going to go to Joel.
Obviously.
I think I'm going to go to Joel because Joel is going to be forced now with these shooters to get his butt in the box.
Right.
At crunch time. Him being on the three-point line, trying to ISO crossover people at the three-point line with the game on the line, when you got these shooters around you, that's not good basketball sense to me. So I'm going to Joel on that box.
And now if they come with the double on the catch as they get, first of all, I don't know if they can do it. They were able to double him on the catch. Boston did it. You saw every game of the playoffs, they were doubling him on the catch. If you double him on the catch now, you're talking about wide open 40%+ three-point shooters standing out there.
Exactly. And you put Ben at that dunker spot. So if you come off Ben, you got him anywhere around the room. I'm taking that all day.
That's good basketball. Now, I want to ask you, your AAU team, you've been talking. I see you do it. I know it's been tough with the pandemic, though, but I think people need to know about some of the stuff that you do when you're not on TV. Can you talk about the AAU team real fast?
I appreciate that, Ty. So everybody know, a lot of people know I have a mentorship. I mentor kids through the game of basketball. You know, we have an AAU program, stuff like that, where we play competitive basketball. But most importantly, it's our gateway. It's our bridge to get through to young men to help raise the future leaders of this world. And one thing I've been working on now is expanding my reach to the kids by building a facility. Right now I'm in talks on building a facility in the North Philadelphia, Kensington area to be a rec center for the inner city kids. Now, people say, well, what do we have rec centers? No, we don't. We have rec centers in Philadelphia. But majority of the time, these rec centers are being rented out so much that the kids in a local community cannot use them. So I'm in the process of building a recreation center for the kids of the community to be used and also to have mentorship, teaching basketball as well as tutoring and things like that to help kids of the inner city of Philadelphia to help to close that gap, to give them more resources that they can be successful, not only in the basketball court, but in the classroom as well.
Man, that's fantastic. I wish you the best of luck with that. If people want information, you have the website. What's the website, Mark?
The website is www.jacko25llc.com. Repeat, Jacko, J-A-C-K-O, 25LLC.com. Thank you, Ty.
Thanks so much, man. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and you have a good holiday.
You too, brother. Appreciate you.
All right. That was Mark Jackson from NBC Sports Philadelphia on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.